15. And verse 29. And what I want to show you here, there were five groups of people around the cross. And they all had an opinion of what was happening. And, you know, it's very interesting. I think the world that we live in today is full of opinions. And Christianity is also quite full of opinions. People have their, you know, their backgrounds, where they're coming from, their education, their lives. And because of sight, because of what they see, they make value judgments very quickly. All of us do. In our daily lives, but also in our walk with God. And we have become seduced by sight. We live in a world where everything is what we see. And there is nothing deeper. And I think that this, you know, this example that I want to give tonight is a really good example of just this. In verse 29, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you that destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Now, obviously, those people had heard the message that Jesus spoke about that he would, you know, the temple would be cast down and would be rebuilt. And it was almost in mockery they were saying to Jesus, "Well, look where you are now. You know, you're certainly not going to do that." So they saw something by sight and they made a judgment immediately. They made an opinion out of it. And then in verse 31, there were another group of people, the second group, the Jewish rulers, the priests, and it says, likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." So again, they had obviously watched Jesus healing the sick, and they came to an opinion that here he was in weakness, hanging on the cross, and he couldn't do anything about it. So they had seen something, and they made an opinion, a judgment, a decision in their thinking because of that. And then in verse 36, there was another group, and you could say that these were the kind of religious people. Some of them stood by when they heard it, and behold, and said, "Behold, he calls Elijah." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." So they had maybe some Bible understanding. They had, you know, they had some idea of the prophecies of Isaiah and or Elijah rather, and they had an opinion that, well, you know, if Jesus was who he said he was, then something might happen. But there again, they were making these quick value judgments. And then in Luke 23, there is two more groups of people. There are the thief on the cross in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If you be the Christ, save yourself and us." And then fifthly, there was the Roman soldiers in verse 37. And their comment was, "If you be the King of the Jews, save yourself." So you've got all these groups of people. You've got the rulers, you've got the religious people, you've got the common people passing by, you've got the Roman soldiers. It's like just about everybody, 99.9% of people around Jesus at the cross, they had this sight, the picture, the evaluation by sight, and they came to an evaluation. But there was one person, only one person, who understood what was going on, what was really going on. And that was, shockingly, surprisingly, it was the thief on the cross. And the thief on the cross did not say, save yourself. But his words were, "Lord, save me." He understood what was really going on. He had some, amazing spiritual insight in that moment to what God was doing in Christ on the cross. And this story is very poignant. It is very important for the age that we live in, because I think that we have a huge tendency as Christians in the church to walk by sight and to make evaluations on the basis of what we see, on the basis of what we hear, and not based on faith and not based on God. And it really twists our thinking. It really gives us the false impression. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the Passion Fell very much. But it again, it brought me back to this point. It's like, what are we doing there at the cross? What are we doing there in that film, looking at Jesus? What are we doing? We are observing something happening, but we are observing by sight. But God has a higher reality. And this is what I want to share tonight. This is amazing. This is wonderful. This is, I think, just awesome. That, all these issues can be happening in our lives, can be happening, and we can be pulling our hair out. We can be so frustrated and so negative and, not understanding what the purpose of God is in our lives. But what I believe that the Bible teaches us in every situation, not just this particular situation, which is actually the greatest example of them all, but in every situation, God has a higher reality. It's a higher level of truth that we can only understand by faith. We can only enter into by walking with God. Otherwise, we are going to, exist as believers in this world, but living on the horizontal level of sight. What is happening to me? All the trouble that I'm in, all the valleys that I go through, all the difficulties that I have, And God says, it's like, I am not in that. I have something greater that I want to bless you with. And this is amazing. Now, in Romans chapter 3, we have what God says about this. And you know, just as the film, just as we saw in Mel Gibson's film, you know, you can get the historical details absolutely correct. You can get, you know, the right amount of violence. You can do, you know, everything correctly, but you can actually miss the whole point of what God was doing in Christ at the cross. And here in Romans 3, and verse, let's start here in verse 23, because these verses are very well known to us. And it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 25, and is like, this is really awesome, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus." Now, if I just tell you what the Greek is saying here, twice in these verses, it says, God has set forth Jesus Christ. And the word in the Greek, it means, it is God has put forth Christ as a public exhibition. And what is it that God wants us to see in Christ at the cross? And this is amazing. God wants us to understand his righteousness. It's like God is pointing at that sacrifice on the cross. And his message for the world is, that is my righteousness. And you know, you think about it. Boy, you're never going to appreciate that by sight. You're never going to see that just as an observer. You're never going to look up at the torture, at the pain, at the suffering, and understand what God is doing. And you know, this is why we here tonight, God is teaching us to understand we cannot walk by sight. We cannot walk by sight. That is not the means of understanding the Christian life. Because, you know, in all honesty, if it was, then we would be in confusion. But our understanding is that God is revealing something greater in our lives. That there is something more in the trouble. There is something more in the pain. There is something greater that God is achieving in our lives, in the trouble, in the valleys. And that is that God would reveal his character and his righteousness in each one of our lives. And you know, we have to open our eyes to this eternal purpose of God, that he has created us for his glory. It is a greater purpose. We are not here to have 50, 60, 70 years of a nice life, you know, with happiness and to live happily ever after. That kind of purpose. No, God has a higher purpose. To reveal his Son in us. And this is so good. This is like, Lord, open my eyes to show us what you're doing. You know, don't let me constantly live in this horizontal, faithless system where I'm constantly reacting to the things that I see and the things that I feel or the things that I hear. No, that is not God's system. God's system is the system of faith.
Amen.
And Lord, open my eyes to it. So, you know, Paul, you know, after the third shipwreck or something like that, you know, he drags himself onto the shore and starts thinking to himself, it's like, boy, you know, I'm in the wrong business. It's like, isn't God supposed to make my life easy? You know, if he wants Asia to be evangelized, why does he allow the shipwreck? You know, if God wants the gospel in Macedonia, why do I get stoned?
Fair question.
Exactly. Because God has a higher purpose. And that is to reveal his Son in us. And boy, you know, sometimes I speak to about myself. It's like, boy, I have such a thick skull. And I will not understand that. You know, I constantly think that the world revolves around me and my problems and my troubles. And God says, no, your problems are not the issue. Christ is the issue. Christ is the issue. So this is a very needed encouragement for us all. And I think it's amazing. It's incredible. Just think of all the people in Jerusalem, you know, of all the clever people, of all the religious people, of all the people that had devoted their whole life to what they thought was following God. You know, Romans, Jews, you name it. It's like all of them had the wrong picture. They had seen this person on the cross and they made the judgment, but it was the wrong judgment. And you know, that tells me so much. Like, don't judge. It's like, don't make these evaluations that spring from sight. It's dangerous. You know, somebody comes into the church and they act a certain way. And immediately I'm categorizing them. You know, this person is like this. You know, another person might, you know, I might have known them for many years. And I say, oh, I know Michael. I know he's like that. What right have I got to evaluate him after the flesh? What does Paul say? He said, yea, we do not even evaluate Jesus Christ after the flesh. That's amazing. It's an evaluation that we have by faith and by grace. And this is what the Lord is leading us to. It's like, thank you, Lord. It's like, may my eyesight be faith. Faith. That I look at somebody and I see them in their potential in Christ. I see what the possibilities of grace are. You know the story of the man who wrote Amazing Grace? I'm sure all of you know the story. He was really in deep trouble, seriously, in every area of his life. And if you had made, you know, an evaluation of that man when he was a slave in a prostitute's house, you know, if you had made the evaluation, it's like,
you would say, write that person off. You know, no good, no value, no purpose. But then God is looking differently on the situation. And God sees something of value, something precious, something that, you know, has potential. And oh God, how we need that, you know, every day of our lives. And you think, you know, of David's life. And how many times in the desert when he was being chased by Saul, you could just imagine him sitting down on a rock and thinking, it's like, Lord, didn't Samuel anoint me to be king? You know, and now I'm, you know, in fear of my life. It's like, I don't understand this. This is not how it's supposed to be, God. And God says, just have patience. And I love it. In James chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, let patience have its perfect work. Allow patience to go through the situation. You know, I see so many times in people's lives, you know, situations come, problems come, in relationships, in, you know, financially, whatever. And it's like, we're in this mode. It's like, get me out of here, God. It's like, change the situation overnight. I want to, you know, immediate change. And in Christianity, we get into that. It's like, you know, Lord, you know, do this instantly for me. If God is going to take more than, you know, 1 minute to do it, then it's not real. It's not God or something. But God says, let patience have its perfect work. And we say, you know, wow, Lord, open my eyes to that. It's so important. I think we agree tonight, all of us. You know, this familiarity with situations in our marriages, in our relationships, and in the church, you know, it really lulls us into this evaluation by sight. But it's not going to get us, you know, it's not going to do anything for us to live in that realm. Amen? It's like, Lord, lift up my eyes to see what you are doing. Show me, Lord, your righteousness. Show me, Lord, your purpose in this. And I will have joy in my heart. I will have gladness. Because I will then rest in your purpose. Not in my purpose, but I will rest in God's purpose and his plan. And, you know, to understand that God is so patient and is waiting and is so gentle and just waiting and initiating and drawing with the cords of love. And, you know, we're saying, boy, Lord, don't you live in the 21st century? Let's get it over with quickly. Let's, you know, do it snappy. God said, no. It's like, let's wait. Let's draw with cords of love. And that will make the difference. So how precious that is. You know, I think this is amazing in Romans 3. You know, it's like there on the cross, were the human eyes would say weakness, weakness, weakness. You know, human evaluation would go so contrary. God was saying, look, that is my righteousness. And I can think that, you know, as Jesus was on the cross, he was there. God the Father was showing the angels. It's like, look,
That is my answer. That is the answer to sin. There is my righteousness revealed. And the angels would be in such awe, such amazing wonder at the wisdom of God revealed on the cross. And, you know, what happened to man? Man was just wagging their heads and saying, you know, come down off the cross. You know, the total opposite of what God was doing there. It's amazing that he is set forth, placed before the eyes of all to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of the past through the forbearance of God. Wow. That's amazing. So, that's the message tonight. Let's not walk by sight. Let's, in our interaction with each other, you know, human nature is, it is so quickly goes into the area of familiarity, so quickly enters into, you know, I have put this person in a category, in a box. This is the this is how this person is. You know, this is what the situation is like. It's like, no, I have no right to do that. I just want to come to everything in an attitude of faith and say, Lord, your purpose is great. Is so great. In Isaiah, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But praise God tonight. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The word of God. The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So it's not a mystery to us. It's like God is revealing his purposes to us. They're not hidden. God is ready to be the revealer of secrets as he was to Daniel. So how precious that is for us. You know, God will show us, you know, this is what I am doing. This is something that is greater. And by sight, it's a valley. But in God's eyes, it's a promotion. You know, that's amazing. It can be so opposite to the world. You know, we might lose everything by sight. But God's saying, no, there is something so great in all of this. And I want you to understand it. So, how precious that is for us tonight. The spiritual realm that the believer understands. The spiritual realm that God is calling us to walk in. And it's wonderful. It's amazing. So when God allows trials to come into our life, then we understand. Then we realize what is the purpose of God. And we can say in James chapter 1 and verse 2, we can say, you know, count it all joy when you fall into different testings. Why? You know, because we're crazy? Because we love having trouble? Because we love being squeezed? No. Because we know that there is something that God is going to give us that is forever. Something that God is going to give us that is eternal. Something that is so precious that this is the only way that we will receive it. You know, that's amazing.
There's something that I am going to learn in this trial that I will learn no other way. You know, it's like you look at the situation, you can look at it two ways. Here I am on the one side, I'm pulling my hair out. It's like, this is like crazy. It's like, is God chastising me? Am I, you know, I start to have all these crazy thoughts about what's happening to me. And then God says, no, no, I am honoring you with this test. Why? Because I am giving you something that you would get no other way. So we say, okay, Lord, I rejoice in this. I rejoice in this. Just let's, as we close, let's turn to James chapter 1, because this is so, so great. Verse 3, knowing this, that the testing of your faith, it works patience. Now, this is, it's so awesome. You've got the test, and then you have the fruit of the test. And what is the fruit of the test? It is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Something that I would receive from God in no other way. It's amazing. So, let's be blessed by that tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.